Welcome back to the Blessed Business Podcast, where we empower Christian business leaders to launch and grow blessed businesses so together we can advance the kingdom of God. If you haven't already, subscribe to the podcast and check out the online courses and resources at www.theblessedbusiness.com. That's www.theblessedbusiness.com. And if you're looking for ways to increase your income, check out the Income Accelerator course now available at theblessedbusiness.com/income. Now let's dive into today's episode.
I'm your host, Hunter Haley, and I want to welcome you back to another episode of the Blessed Business Podcast. And today we're going to have a conversation about basically raising money fast or getting fast cash. If you need cash fast, boy, this is a tongue twister episode, then we're going to tell you what to do in this session today. So, you know, actually what kind of prompted me to do this episode is in the last few days, I've had at least three, maybe four people approach me about needing to make extra cash fast. Not someday, you know, way off in the future or next month sometime, but like today or like by the end of the week. And so it got me thinking about it. And the truth is, a lot of us get in a cash crunch from time to time, whether it's a surprise expense, a family member that needs help, or your hours get cut unexpectedly, or maybe even an opportunity presents itself and you need to be able to move on it fast to be able to take advantage of this opportunity that's presented itself. And so ultimately, the point is sometimes you need to raise cash fast. You need to be able to generate some cash so that you can take care of whatever the situation is. So in this episode, I'm going to share some fast cash tips. And hopefully, I don't get too tongue-twisted in this episode. But anyway, I want to start by mentioning that before I get into all of these tips is it's actually way easier to position yourself in advance rather than waiting until you're in a cash crunch to try to get creative with your finances, okay? If you can prepare in advance, that's going to be a much simpler and easier thing to do than waiting until crisis mode. As they say, an ounce of prevention is better than a pound of cure. A stitch in time saves nine, or a dollar saved is a dollar. Okay, I think you get the point. So it's much better to live on a budget and save extra and establish your side hustles or, have a network of people that you can reach out to get extra side work or something like that before you're in this crisis mode, right? But it's human nature, and I'm subject to this just as much as anybody else. It's human nature to generally wait until there's a crisis or a huge sense of urgency before we do something. I'm not immune to this human tendency, and I have had to revisit this lesson many times in my financial career. And this isn't necessarily a financial example, but I went to actually record this episode a couple days ago, and I popped out my laptop. I was all ready to go and realized I had like 4% battery, and I was like, oh no. So I went to grab my, I had not prepared in advance. I had not charged my laptop. And then I went to grab my charger and I realized I'd left it somewhere else. And I was like, this is why I should be doing this episode, because I have a tendency to wait until I'm ready to do something or need to do something to prepare. And so I'm going to be speaking to myself as much as anybody else, because I am the world's worst when it comes to procrastination or waiting until crisis mode. And I've always, you know, told people it's because I do better under pressure. I work better under pressure. But I'm trying to break that in myself. Over the last couple months and years, I've seen that tendency and I'm like, okay, but it's way easier if I can get out ahead of a lot of these things and prepare in advance. And so I'm trying to do that in my own personal life. And here's some of the things, and that's why I'm kind of doing this episode, to kind of share some of the things that I've learned to be able to, in those moments of, you know, hey, we need to do something. These are some of the things that you can do. But like I said, I'm trying to get better about getting out in front of these type situations. But all that said, here are some fast cash tips I've learned in my personal life and as a business owner. But number one, one of the best ways, our fastest ways to get extra cash is actually not going and getting extra income, but cutting expenses. Again, a dollar saved is a dollar earned. And so let's say you have something coming up and you're like, okay, I have this bill that's coming due. We had a medical expense or something like that, or there's this unanticipated repair bill or something like that, and it's going to be due in 30 days. Well, what expenses can I cut now in order to be able to save enough money to pay at least some or all of that, right? Because by the time you go out and let's say you have an extra $150 bill, okay? Or maybe it's a $15,000 bill, depending on if you're in business or if this is a personal situation or whatever. But let's just take something like that. Well, you could go make an extra $150, but instead of making an extra $150 to pay that bill, by the time you pay taxes, tithes, offering, you know, the time, the gas to go do to the new job or to do the side hustle or whatever, it's actually you're going to have to generate like $200 or $300, right? And so it would actually be easier to say, are there some areas that we could cut an extra $150 a month or this month? And that's just something to think about. And a lot of times we allow things to just kind of happen. So I actually was looking this morning at some of our business expenses, and I noticed this $25 and some change every single month that we've been paying for I think it's Sirius XM or Cyrus XM. I don't know anything about it. I don't listen to the radio, but it was on a company vehicle we had purchased and no longer own. And I was like, we've been paying $25 a month for this. We could have been, a couple hundred dollars a year. That could be paying something else, a lot more valuable that we're actually getting use out of. And I started looking, and I found almost $100 to $200 of expenses that either we're not using or are things like that that are, things that we can easily cut out or that we'd no longer use or don't even own anymore. And I was like, if I'm just like glancing through and I found this, then it's time to actually take a hard line look at what we're doing and try to cut some of these things out. I mean, because that's literally a couple $1,000s a year. And so if you can start cutting expenses, and again, it's ideal to like do this preemptively, but even if you're in a crisis mode and, hey, I've got to have money soon, then what are some expenses that you can cut out? Is there something that you can kind of put off that you had planned on buying or something like that and say, hey, I'm going to reallocate this money for this emergency situation or whatever? So that's tip number one, is to cut expenses. Find ways to save money that you are already planning to spend, right? Because that's going to actually be your easiest way with the lowest. That's one of the lowest hanging fruit areas, is that. Number two would be sell something you have. I recently did this. I had an extra vehicle that was fun, but let's just be honest. Who can drive two Jeeps at one time? I'm just saying, right? And I know that's, first world problems, but I was like, you know what? We had some other goals that we had, some other things that we needed to do. And I was like, you know what? I just need to sell the extra Jeep. I love it. I like it. It's not identical to the other Jeep I have. So technically there are some differences, but basically I had two Jeeps and I needed to sell one of them. And so that's what I did. And so did it hurt a little bit to like let that go? Yes. Was it the wise thing to do? Absolutely. Because not only did selling that raise some additional money for us to be able to do these other projects or things that we wanted to do that actually have more value as a family, but it actually saved me expenses every month because I no longer have insurance or gas or tag renewal, things like that. So that was a big win financially, because not only did it, we sell something that we really weren't using, to be honest, but it also saved in our monthly expenses as well. So it was kind of a two in one, not killing two birds with one stone. I heard a better version of that. It was catching two butterflies with one net, is a softer way of putting that. But sell something that you have. If you've got extra tools or equipment, I'm thinking more from a guy perspective. Ladies, I don't know what y'all have. Maybe y'all have like one of those wardrobe cleanouts or something like that. But find something that you can sell, because again, generally, if something that you have that you can sell is something you've already paid taxes, tithes, and offering on or whatever, and so if you sell it, unless you sell it for profit, hopefully that you do, but if you're just kind of liquidating something that you already have laying around, then that's an easy way to raise money, and it's good to declutter from time to time. have a yard sale. I talked to a customer of ours, and they were basically leaving their property because they, you know, had some life situations happen or whatever, and they couldn't, aren't going to be able to keep the property. And so they need to move to, for job change and stuff like that. So he's like, hey, I'm going to go up to the local community center and ask them if I can have a yard sale right there in the middle of town. I was like, you know what? That's actually a really good idea. If you're in a financial crunch, you know, which they are, that's a really smart move is, hey, look, I'm going to sell some of the things that I have. I'm going to try to put it in an area that I can get lots of, you know, basically drive through traffic and stuff like that. And it, just try it and see. And so, again, it's, there's no shame in trying to raise extra money. A lot of times we think of, okay, if I sell something, what are people going to think on Facebook? Or like, you know, people see me listing this on Facebook Marketplace or eBay, what are they going to think? It doesn't matter what people think. If you're in a financial crunch, or you just want have other goals in life, or even if you don't have a financial crunch, selling something and getting decluttering your life and basically putting that cash back in your pocket is a good thing. And so this is just a good habit to get into is every so often, again, preemptively, go around the house and say, do we have $100 worth of things we can sell? And let's sell that and put it in a savings account so that if this does happen, we're not doing it in crisis mode. But anyway, that's something that you can do. Number three would be flip something. When I say flip something, I don't mean to just go out there and turn it over and flip it upside down, right? but what I mean is to buy something super cheap and then resell it at a higher price. The old school, you know, like in a high, elementary school version of this is going to Sam's Club or Costco or somewhere like that and getting the 48 pack of candy bars and then going to your, not necessarily saying to do this, but just the concept here is getting the 48 pack of candy bars and then going and you're in them for, you know, 25 cents a piece and you're selling them for $1 a piece, right? To your friends, neighbors, school, church, whatever, right? Your coworkers at work. And you're like, hey, look, you want a candy bar? Maybe you sell it, you're in it for 25 cents. You sell it for 75 cents. Not a lot of money, but if you work at a big place, it may actually turn out. You could make an extra 50 or 100 bucks, and that may be what you need to get you through, right? I know that's small scale, but just think of something that you can buy that, hey, I've got the money to go get this, and I know I can flip it fast. I've done this with four-wheelers, side-by-sides. I've bought and sold land. I've let the Jeep. I've actually owned multiple Jeeps that we've purchased for a good, found a good deal on something, purchased it, enjoyed it, loved on it, whatever, but then when the time came, we turned around and flipped it for a profit. And I've sold every Jeep I've purchased for more than I paid for it up to this point. So hopefully we keep that trend continuing. But anyway, so that's a way to be able to turn around something that you've purchased, and in that case, something that you can actually enjoy for a short period of time, and turn around and flip it for a good profit. Now, what you don't want to do is if it's something that you've don't know anything about, you've heard someone say, hey, you can flip four-wheelers or side-by-sides and make money, great, or golf carts or anything else, right? But you know nothing about them, you can actually get yourself in a worse pickle by buying into something you don't know how to do. And this is where it's better, again, to do it when you've got extra cash and you're not in a financial crunch. Instead of dumping your, you know, all your savings, this is your saving grace, and then like you didn't know what you were doing and you got into a bad deal and then you aren't able to get out of it, right? And so that compounds your issue. I've seen people do that as well, and that's not healthy. That's not going to help you, right? And so again, doing this preemptively would be helpful. But let's say that you know how to do something. That's another way to raise cash quickly, is to say, okay, I'm going to buy this four-wheeler for, you know, 500 or 1,000, 1,500 bucks, 2,500 bucks, whatever, and I know I can sell it for 3,000 to 4,000. I'm going to clean it up. I'm going to put some tire shine on it or whatever. Maybe you're mechanically inclined and you can tune it up and make it so much better, and you can flip it on Facebook Marketplace. That's a valuable skill. Being a flipper, so to speak, where you can flip items, whether it's buying super high-end tennis shoes at Goodwill and flipping them on eBay, or four-wheelers or side-by-sides or whatever it is, right? Then having that as a skill is a valuable skill. And even though you're doing it at a very low level, with that you're flipping, you know, tens of dollars, hundreds of dollars, or maybe a couple thousand dollars, that's a skill that's translatable. Now, we sell property on Facebook Marketplace, and when we flip land, it may be a, you know, six-figure sale. But it's the same principles I learned when I was flipping four-wheelers and side-by-sides and golf carts on Facebook Marketplace, right? And so I know that sounds crazy, but when you're doing something, it's also like bonus pro tip here is try to do things, whether it's side hustles or things like this, that create and cultivate skills that are translatable to higher ticket items. Just a little pro tip there. But anyway, so flip something. That's number three. Number four is ask for side work. Now, this is, I've actually, like I said, I've had three or four people approach me in the last couple of days. I've done this before. There's nothing wrong with doing this, but there's a good way of doing it or an okay way of doing it. And then there's kind of a bad way of doing it. So what I've seen some people do, not bad, but just like not as advanced. So some people are like, hey, I need some side work, right? And so they just kind of go around to people and say, hey, do you have anything for me to do? Well, that's okay. I'm not saying it's bad. I mean, you know, people do business with people they know, like, and trust. And so if they know you, they like you, they trust you, and they know kind of what you can do, that's all great. And you're making yourself available, right? If you're just sitting around on the couch and not letting anybody know you're available for side work, it's probably not going to happen, right? So that's a good first step. So I'm not trying to, diminish that step, but there's a better way to do that. And so if you're going to ask for side work, that's great, but have a plan. So like I know someone who was looking to raise some extra cash, and they posted in their local neighborhood app and Facebook groups and stuff like that and said, hey, instead of just saying, I'm looking for extra side work, they said, I'm about to do this thing. I think it was house cleaning or house washing or something like that. It was something like that. So I don't remember if it was, I think it was internal house keeping or whatever. And so they publish it out there. And within just a couple of days, they had more work than they could keep up with. So they were having to start to turn people away. And so, but they didn't just ask if anybody had something for them to do. They presented something that they knew people had it. There was a need in the market, and they presented what they were willing to do. I actually had someone recently approach me. Another good point is they said, hey, do you have any extra side work? I can basically do anything that you need me to do, and I need to make an extra $100 this week, right? So that also kind of set the frame for me. It's like, okay, do I have an extra $100 worth of work for them to do? Instead of them just saying, hey, do you have any extra work for me to do? It's like, well, yeah, you can come do this and that'll be $25. Or, hey, are you looking for something that's going to make you $500 or $600? There was, if they didn't tell me what the expectation was, of, hey, I've got an extra 4 or 5 hours. I need to make an extra $100. Do you have anything available? And here's the type of things I can do. That was actually really helpful because it was like, do I have something in that price point that's worth their time and it's worth my time, if that makes sense. And so when you go to ask for side work, letting people know what you can do, letting people know kind of what the expectation is here's how many hours I have available or the days or times, and here's what I'm looking to make, right? Or something like that. That would be super helpful to those that you're basically, selling your services to, so they know what the expectation is instead of just this ambiguous, hey, I'm just looking for side work, because that could lead to confusion. It could lead to frustration. You're needing to make $100 and they're like, yeah, show up and I'll got a couple things for you to do. Well, you show up and they have like three things for you to do. And it's like, here's your $30. Have a good day. It's like, well, that's not, I really need to spend my time going to do this thing for somebody else that would actually pay me $100, if that makes sense. So setting the right expectations takes it from just making yourself available, which is good, to, hey, this is a much higher value conversation because here's the expectation, here's what I can do, and here's the hours I can commit to it. And so that's just a much better way if you're going to ask for side work in your network of community, it's much better to present it that way. And so another thing is to provide a simple service. So like, let's say you can do freelance work, whatever you can get on. There's websites like Fiverr and Upwork, and there's a lot of what this is called the gig economy or whatever, gig workers or whatever. So you can, and again, it's better to set up a profile before you're in a crisis, but you could go do this today and maybe have work in the next couple days or week. But you can do freelance work. So that could be like, editing articles. It could be reviewing blog posts for grammatical errors. It could be if you are a video editor, or you could make, let's say videos for small businesses or things like that. So any number of like freelance activity, there's graphics designers, copywriters, blog posts, social media management. It could be any number of things. I mean, those are things that kind of come top of mind for me, but it could be anything that you have a skill for. And if you need ideas, go to ChatGPT or Google or something like that and look up top paying freelance or gig worker, basically occupations or jobs. And if you do that, you can go down that list and be like, ding, 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 I could do this, you know? Or if you've got a nice camera, you like playing around with photography, maybe you post online, hey, I'm taking shots, portraits, family portraits this weekend only. And instead of it normally being $150, it's $75. Well, you get two or three of those sessions lined up. It's a good price for them. And you're able to take equipment that you already have, like your camera or whatever, go out and spend a couple hours and you made an extra $150, $300, something like that. That may be what you need to do. Now, again, preparing in advance really helps. If you have a hobby or if you have something you've invested in or you've developed these skills like photography, like videography, like graphics design on Canva or whatever, right? Then if you had developed these in advance, then when you hit these points where you need extra cash, then you can do kind of a flash sale is what they would call it, where you can send this out to your network and you can offer it at a discount. And okay, you're not making as much as you normally would, but you've already got a marketable skill that you can publish out there and raise cash fast. Okay. And so that could be a way, and people say, hey, this is normally a $150 item. I'm getting it a service. I'm getting it for $75. That's great. And you're like, hey, I have to work a little harder, but I'm getting the money I need to meet that goal or whatever. So providing a simple service like freelance work or something like that would be really good. And there's other things you could do in addition to that, but you know, like you could, you know, do car detailing and window washing and stuff like that. But I'll get more into that in a couple points. So number six would be, that was number five. So number six is rent out something you own. Now, again, this is not, I'm not a lawyer or attorney or whatever, so I don't know all the legal ramifications, but so research that on your own. But let's say you have a 2 or 3 bedroom apartment and you're a single person or whatever, and you're a small family and you have an extra bedroom. Well, maybe for a short-term basis, you may not want to Airbnb it out to like some random stranger, but if your lease agreement allows you to, you may look around and say, hey, is there someone in my network who's looking for, you know, a roommate, you know? And so you could rent that room out for a short period of time. So let's say you get a couple $100 a month and you are able to do that for the next 6 months or a year. Well, that may really make a difference for you, right? And so let's say it may not be an extra room in your house or your apartment, but let's say you have a backyard and you talk to someone and they're like, hey, I've got this trailer or something like that that I really need to store, but I'm living in an apartment. You're living at a house. Can I store it in your backyard? Yeah. For $50 a month, you can store it at my place, right? Or if you've got a garage or a attic or something like that. Again, I don't know the legal ramifications of like, you don't want to, you know, make sure it's insured. Don't take anything too valuable or something like that. But just to get your creative juices flowing, think of something that a space that you have that who would pay me even something just to store this, either it's temporary or long-term or something like that. That could be something that you can do. We've got people storing something at one of our commercial, our properties right now. And it's just an opportunity, right? And so I've seen this work for people before, and people will pay something for that a lot of times, because if you try to go get a rental storage unit or something like that, it's not cheap, right? So if you can offer it for less, or if it's a friend of yours and they just need this temporarily, could be something that works. Other thing is, like, let's say you have a trailer or you have a lawnmower or something like that, and let's say you cut your grass once a week, but then there's this, you know, young person in your church or something like that, or someone you know, or a kid in the neighborhood, something like that. Again, I don't know all the liability restrictions on this, but let's say, hey, I just cut my grass once a week, but my neighbor or my friend or, this person I know is trying to cut a couple yards a week on the side to make some extra money. Well, maybe you rent them your riding lawnmower, say, hey, look, if you're going to go mow grass and you're going to get $50 a pop, you're going to mow 10 yards, you're going to make $500, will give me $100 for using my lawnmower. And for that person, not having to buy the equipment or whatever. They're just kind of doing it on the weekend on the side. Well, you're positioning yourself to use what you actually weren't using, but you have ownership of. You're able to allow them to use it and get some rental out of it. And again, these would be very, you'd have to be very careful in the relationships, because what you don't want is them to, you know, some, you know, kid to use your lawnmower and knock someone's windows out, and then now you're responsible, or, you know, something like that. So obviously use wisdom, but just to get the ideas rolling around in your head of like, what do I have that I could use to raise cash fast? That could be another example. Same thing with like, if you have a digital camera or something like that, maybe you know a professional photographer that's, or your friend who's a quasi professional photographer, and you bought this really nice camera to take pictures of your kids and it sits in a closet. Maybe you reach out to them and say, hey, look, if you've got a video shoot or a photography shoot, I've got this really nice camera sitting around that's really just collecting dust. If you give me an extra $50, I'll let you take it out to your shoot with you, and you can have one of your junior photographers use that to click, 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 take pictures, right? Again, just think through what you have and start getting creative on ways to raise cash and how you can monetize basically what you have. And then another point here, number 7, is start a side hustle. Again, if you need cash like today, this may not work. I mean, it might, but this would be something like, especially if you have kind of this ongoing situation where I really have a shortfall, like every month or every couple months, I really just need to generate cash on an ongoing basis, then starting a side hustle would really make a lot of sense. And this could be something simple like, you know, car detailing, window washing. Window washing actually is very underrated. Like, you can make really good money really fast with very low cost to get into it. Lawn mowing, bush trimming, pool cleaning, pressure washing. Like, think of something that someone else doesn't want to do for themselves, and you know, it's probably something that they'll pay you to do, right? You know, I know actually neighborhood kids that have gone around and they're like, hey, I'll go around the neighborhood and I'll take your trash on trash day. I'll take the can from the, you know, front of, from your driveway down to the end of the road. And when they get done, I'll take it back, right? And it's $5 a week to do that, or, you know, $10 a month or something like that. And they just literally drive around the neighborhood and it's $10, $10, $10, $10, $10, $10, and they do that. And they're able to, you know, collect a kind of this ongoing money. It's not just a huge amount of money, but it's something that is like, hey, I already live in the neighborhood and I can do this for everyone. And a lot of people would do that, right? Because it's like, hey, for 10 or 20 bucks a month to not have to worry about putting the trash out on trash day, I would pay that, you know? And maybe not everyone would, but I would. And if you get a neighborhood where you get a whole bunch of people clustered together doing that, well, that could be an extra couple $100 a month. You know, and so it might be, that might be the, what makes the difference for you. And just, you know, on one day a week, you just go over there and you know when the trash day is or whatever. And that morning on the way to work, or, you know, before you go to school or something, you go around, you put all the trash cans on the road. And then after school or later that evening, you come by and put them all back up, right? Not a hard thing, but just, again, thinking outside the box and think about how you can provide value to somebody else. Okay. We talk about that actually in the Income Accelerator course, is ways to create value for other people. And you really, if you start thinking about it, there's a you really have a lot of ways you can contribute value to other people that they're willing to pay for. You just have to think outside the box. Okay. And so, all right, here's some, so those are my 7 fast cash tips for you. And there's many other ways to raise money and get cash. You could, you know, work overtime, you could get a second job. I mean, a lot of different things, but these are some very simple, low hanging fruit ways to raise money. And hopefully this has been helpful to someone. But I've got a couple of just bonus tips kind of in this same genre here. And number 1 is avoid going into long-term debt for short-term problems, if at all possible. So if you have a cash crunch or a medical bill or something comes up, don't just load up your credit cards or max out your line of credit, your equity line of credit, just to get by without trying these other ways to raise cash first, if at all possible. Again, a medical expense happens, a car wreck happens, you need a new vehicle. I mean, like, it happens, right? But don't just try, if at all possible, instead of like, oh, I wrecked my car and it's a $2,500 fix. Well, I'm just going to junk it and trade in and take a big hit and then sign up for this huge note on this new car. No. Try one of these 7 ways I gave you to raise some extra cash quick, repair that car, and then kind of start working your way to where you can either sell it or and buy a new car or something like that without trying to solve this short-term problem with a long-term commitment, right? Especially when it comes to debt or something like that. Or I've heard of people just putting all their bills on their credit card this month to be able to have the cash to pay this emergency situation or whatever. And if you have to do that, you have to do that. But that is not ideal because you're digging yourself further in the hole and it's going to be harder and harder to do this. So if you can learn these fast cash tips and start putting them into practice in your life, ideally in advance, then you will experience less and less emergencies. And even if you get in a crunch, you know what to do to get out of it and make the cash, if that makes sense. Number two would be determine if this is a short-term pinch or if this is a long-term situation or a recurring issue, okay? And that may adjust how you solve the problem. So again, if this is just a one-time, wow, this is just totally unexpected, but I've got a $1,500 medical bill that I need to take care of or whatever it is, right? Or I've got this opportunity to buy this thing and I need to raise cash, right? Then that's something that is, hey, what can I do? Can I sell something? Can I do this or whatever? But if this is like a recurring, hey, I'm about $500 short every single month or $1,500 short every month, well, then just you can't just sell enough. Eventually, if you're selling stuff every month to make that gap, eventually you're going to run out of stuff to sell, right? And so you need to come up with other ways of actually making money. So starting a recurring side hustle or, you know, getting a flip business going or something like that, you know, maybe a second part-time job or something like that makes sense. So again, determine, is this just a one-time thing, a short-term thing, or is this like a recurring situation that I need to adjust accordingly? Or, hey, this is happening. I need to start looking for a better job that pays more. And what skills do I need to develop to be able to go to that better job? Okay. Those are just some thoughts there. Number three would be figure out what is the lowest hanging fruit to meet your objectives and proceed logically. Don't just go all crazy and like, oh, we've got this unexpected situation. I've got this cash crunch, and then just go sell everything you have and sign up for six more jobs and then, like, you know, flip everything and try to get in the flip. Don't just try to go do all seven of those ideas all at once, right? Because you're going to overwhelm yourself. Think, okay, what is the lowest hanging fruit? What makes the most logical sense? And do that first. Get yourself out of crisis mode, and then you can think logically to proceed better, okay? So just when you're in fight or flight mode, it can be a little bit overwhelming, and so you just try to do everything. And I've been in that mode before. I know what that feels like, and you can feel like, okay, this is a crisis moment. But take time, sit down with a piece of paper, write out what your low-hanging fruit is. Like, oh, I could call my insurance company and try to save this amount of money and see, you know, shop my insurance rate. And, oh, wow, we just saved $50 a month there. And, oh, I can cut out YouTube Premium or Apple Music or whatever this subscription. There's another $30 to $50 a month. And like, okay, I'm able to, get this side work for an extra $100 a week or whatever. Okay, we solved our problem that quick. Or we can sell this item and boom, we're there. Well, do that low-hanging fruit first. Get out of crisis mode, and it's like, to avoid this in the future, I kind of want to like double up on some of this stuff. So maybe I start this side hustle or whatever. And with that, you can start proceeding logically and start tackling this in a much more organized fashion, and you're going to get a lot further. You're going to get a lot further, a lot faster. Okay. And number four would be evaluate what got you in this financial jam to begin with and think through what you're going to do to avoid this in the future. I recently had that type of situation. And I was like, what got me here? And what do I need to do in the future to where I don't feel this pressure? Okay. And so that is definitely something you want to do. Take this as a learning experience, because otherwise you're going to be on this rat race forever, right? You know, you're going to be on this hamster wheel for the rest of your life, always constantly be in crisis mode. And I know people who've lived like that, and they are stressed out all the time. And I feel sorry for them, but you have to stop and evaluate and be honest with yourself what's causing this issue, and then figure out how to solve it going forward so that once you get out of crisis mode, don't just let it go. Say, okay, I want to get in really active mode in trying to avoid crises in the future. Because most crisis situations are actually avoidable. Most of them are. Not all of them. Life happens to everyone. It rains on the just and the unjust. It's not a lot of times God punishing you. But sometimes when the credit card payment comes due and you spent way too much on Christmas and you're like, oh, it's a crisis. No, it wasn't. You could have prevented this to begin with. And so being honest with yourself and thinking through that or preparing in advance, Murphy's coming. So build up your emergency fund, develop the side hustle skills, or develop that side hustle, develop freelance skills, develop something in advance will really help you so that when money problems come, you've got a, you're way better equipped to deal with it. And because no matter how financially successful you are, you're going to hit times when money's going to feel tight, or you're going to have an emergency, or you're going to have a situation that comes up. It just usually has bigger numbers attached to it, and it's a bigger problem when you have more money. If you're a business owner, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's like crisis mode. We have payroll this week, and it's thousands of dollars, and I don't know how I'm going to raise that. You know, that's not our current situation, thank God. But you know, more money doesn't mean less problems, right? Necessarily, you have to fundamentally change your money habits to change your money problems, right? So if you're a crisis, if money crises, you know, are just seem to be attracted to you, well, you need to start evaluating who you are and the way you manage your money, and you may need to adjust accordingly. Okay, enough of that. Number five is optimize your approach for better results. And this is kind of like what I was talking about earlier. If you're going to ask for side work, try to do it in a way that positions you for the best success possible. If you're going to do freelance work, or you're going to rent something out, or you're going to use logic and reason when you're doing this and optimize your approach so that you have the best possible results instead of just going crazy on something because you feel like you're in crisis mode. And so I like Dave Ramsey, just kind of wrap up here. I like Dave Ramsey's comment about, he said this many, many times. Basically, to summarize, he says, stop living life like an emergency, or stop treating life like an emergency. Start preparing in advance. Build your emergency fund, develop marketable skills, increase your income. If you need help with that, then take the Income Accelerator course, take the launch course that where we teach you how to launch your own business or side hustle. Start investing in yourself. Read books that teach you about money. I've got a whole shelf of books behind me where I'm recording now in my office, and I've got The Psychology of Money. I've got the book on making money. I've got a number of books that I've invested in over the years that have taught me money skills, because we aren't just born innately to know money and finance and manage it well. And then refresh that on an ongoing basis, because I need that refresher every so often. And if you do these things, you will position yourself for better long-term success, and you'll be able to take advantage of opportunities that present themselves if you establish these good money habits and take responsibility for your financial future. So with all that being said, be diligent in improving your financial outlook and hold yourself accountable, not just for a quick win right now, but for the long term. So again, thank you for your time and attention today. I hope this has been helpful, and be blessed.
This concludes today's episode, and we trust you were able to walk away with something of value from the content that you heard. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already. Be sure to share this episode with a friend. Sharing is caring, after all. And check out the resources available on our website at theblessedbusiness.com. We have a lot of goodies out there for you, like the Income Accelerator course that teaches you the five keys to unlocking your earning potential, or the Launch course, which is a step-by-step guide to help you launch your own business. Thank you for your time and attention today, and until next time, be blessed.